to 24 Minutes of A24, the podcast that takes a look at the A24 library 24 minutes at a time. I am Ethan Simi.
And I'm Ben Lahore. And this week on the pod, we're covering our first ever stand-up special, which I'm excited about. We're covering Rami Youssef's More Feelings.
Rami Youssef returns to the stage to offer his unique reflections on our divided world, the unexpected perils of charitable giving, and more. Ben, I just want to start out and say I appreciate you for setting me up for success for the introduction to this pod. If someone listened to last week and it was their first time listening to the show, I am so, so sorry for you. And we actually do podcasts. We know what we're doing. And this proves it. So I just shout out. Thanks, Ben.
Listen, I think last week was one of our most fun episodes, though, and I've heard feedback from people saying the same. It was just like it started off the rails and it continued off the rails. So maybe I just need to throw you for a loop every week. Just need to like throw this off course. Yeah.
Just bring the fences down early in the show. That way we just get full maximum tilt the whole time. Well, I'm glad that I could contribute to that. I feel good about that. We are talking about our first stand-up special ever here on the pod. We've got some housekeeping to take care of, as per usual. We've got some news, some movies, some shows, some things to talk about. But I'm curious, we've never talked about a stand-up special here in the show before. How are we going to do it? Like, I know I just said that we know what we're doing. I have zero idea how we're going to talk about this on the show today.
It feels like it's going to be one of those examples of like when you try to retell a joke to your friend, you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, let me tell you his joke. It's like this. It's like, no, it's so much better when he does it. And I feel like that's what this whole episode is going to be. It's like, this is the joke he says, I promise it's funny, but here's our version of it. So yeah, I think it's just going to be, you know, 45 minutes of that basically.
I think this is probably why people don't like middle-aged white guys having podcasts, because then it devolves into exactly what you just said, where we're just like, let's talk about a stand-up even though we don't know how. So we're going to traverse that together and we'll go through it, and I think it'll be a good time. We have a structure and we're going to see if it works. Like you said, we'll probably just devolve into jokes, and I think that's a good thing. I think that'll be fun.
I'm two tequilas deep, so I'm ready to go. Like, let's party.
Double action already.
Yeah, double. So this is my fourth tequila, basically.
Oh my God, wait, double shots and this is your second cup?
Yeah, so I'm ready.
Whoa, you're ripping and roaring. Do you come to every pod loaded?
I try to. I do my best.
to deal with me? That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, exactly. It's how I cope, basically. But
okay, good.
Yeah,
so four shots of tequila is the coping mechanism for an hour of life with me.
Yeah, it depends on what we're talking about. So tonight I felt like, you know, I probably need to do a little extra.
Yeah, loosen the gears a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah, make it bearable. Okay, well, that's good knowledge. That probably explains why my wife is just constantly drinking around the house, and I get it now. That makes sense. Shout
if you've been covering challengers, I would have brought the bottle with me, because I was like, oh, this is gonna be just a Ethan episode.
You know what, now that you mentioned challengers, I did have this brief idea where I was like, Rami special, 55 minutes.
Yeah,
we're gonna just cover it lightly. We'll talk about it, we'll talk about Rami, we'll talk about some jokes. You know, we could throw in there a little challengers action, because even though we're an A24 pod, challengers, pretty fucking good movie, Ben.
Pretty great movie. I mean, and before we started recording, I'm not going to give the viewers the context, but like, you did talk about cranking it, and so it would make sense if we talked about challenges.
You have to give context, though.
I don't think context is necessary. It's not going to add anything to it, but you talked about cranking it during the episode, so
art,
like, that would work.
They give context in the movie. Okay, so I feel they tell the story. So I feel like I don't want to be done dirty like this, but I will say, yes, I was talking about cranking it, and it does make sense that it would relate to challengers. So I'll give you credit where it's due there. I played hooky from work today, and I went to go see challengers again, and I saw it in IMAX. It was my first time seeing it in IMAX, and it was the last IMAX screening before the Fall Guy takes over all the IMAX screens for this weekend.
Yeah.
Holy crap, dude. I just can't, like, I gave it a 4.5 stars the first time I saw it. And the entire time that I was watching it, I was like, I'm pretty sure I'm going to bump it. Like, I'm pretty sure this is where I'm at. we get to the end of Challengers, and I won't spoil it for a multitude of reasons because we're not actually diving deep into Challengers, but the last 10 minutes and the final frame in particular, I was like, that is some of the most exhilarating filmmaking I've ever seen in my life.
It's so good.
I couldn't crank it in the theater because there were other people there, but, you know, Challengers, now that you mention it.
Yeah, it's a good movie. If you haven't seen it, please go see it. Even though it's not A24, it's a high recommend from both of us. I also gave it 4.5. I've only seen it once, but I gave it 4.5, but definitely with room to bump up. And that score, I think I've listened to it 3 times since watching it. Like, it's such a good score.
I have only listened to that score for the last 4 days. I kid you not. That and 21 Pilots. That's all I've been listening to. It's hypnotic. It's incredible. Zendaya? Right? It's Zendaya.
Sure. Tomato. I don't know.
Certified movie star right now. This is it. This is her world. We're all just living in it. I can't believe that you and I agree on Challengers like we do. That I just feel like that's a rare happening.
It is. It is indeed. I think I easily go up to 5 stars. I'm excited to rewatch it for sure. I think the hottest take I've seen out there, which I might agree with, is this might be like Trent Reznor's best score. It might be better than Social Network, like some of their other stuff. Like, I love the score. It's so good.
Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Good. Yeah.
Soul.
Yeah, good. Yeah, wow. That's a good take. And it is a score that only abides to this film, which I think is an interesting thing. I will ask you one more Challengers question. Art, Patrick, or Tashi? Who are you most like? Who would you associate the most with?
Probably Art. I'm a rule follower for sure. So I think I fall
little Mike
more
Feist
into that.
Boy.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I would see myself. What about you?
Definitely. I can't get on the scumbag level that Patrick's on. I just can't wrap my brain around that.
I can't imagine who would pick him. Be like, oh yeah, I'm totally like
that's my guy. Like, that's my boy.
Hold on.
This absolute piece of dirt, total ass. I'd be like, that's my guy. Yeah, I'm definitely an Art. And here's the thing too, because I feel like if a Patrick came into my life the way that Josh O'Connor does for Mike Feist in this movie, I would indeed do what Art does. And I would indeed start to become seduced by his smirky little smile that he does. And I just, it's irresistible. So Challengers, very real situation. I feel like if I was put in that situation, I feel like I could live that.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us this week. That's been our Challengers review.
Good Challengers review. This has been a great A24 pod. We'll talk more A24 content next week. First piece of housekeeping, Love Lies Bleeding merch. We talked about it last week. Yeah. Did you get anything on the sale?
I did. And the whole time I did it, I was mad at myself. I got the mint t-shirt.
Okay.
Literally the entire time that I was ordering, I was like, why am I not just getting everything? Like, just get the bundle, buy the bundle. Like, as I'm checking out, it's like, I should just buy the bundle. Like, it's only $20 more. I should get the bundle. And then I just checked out. I was like, cool. The fiscal side of me was like, no, just buy the shirt.
Sure.
Like,
sure,
you just need the shirt. You don't need this, like the cigarette tray, the ashtray. You don't need the socks, like the shirt. I don't fucking need the shirt. That's for sure. But I wanted it so bad. So that's what I ended up going with. So I'm excited about it though. Yeah. What about you?
We were right on with the money on the shirt. We said $40. The shirts ended up being $40 for the Creator Gym capsule. Ended up coming in red and mint. Mint was by far and away the better color. I wish they had like a cream color. That would have been a really nice pick.
That would have been sick.
They did come with a bundle, like you mentioned, with all three items. So the t-shirt, the socks, and the ashtray for like $60. I don't know if you got your like all access A24 discount on the bundle. When I went to go check out on the bundle, it wouldn't let me have it. So I don't know if that was like a bundle special thing. I got the socks and the ashtray. So we kind of just traded products. We both thought the socks and the ashtray were going to be significantly more expensive. The only reason I bought the socks is because they were like, I think $14 or $12. And I was like, I'm going to rock these all summer long because I only own one pair of socks. So I need a second pair.
Yes,
and I
thought, perfect for you.
I thought this was perfect for me. So I can actually wear socks while I take up smoking in my new ashtray.
This is going to be the Ethan summer. This is going to be the
It's like the summer of George, but it's the summer of Ethan. And I've been let free, and Love Lies Bleeding has unleashed me.
You're slowly going to be Josh O'Connor at the end of the summer.
Oh my God.
Challengers. You're just going to be a scumbag. Yeah. Your little 5 o'clock shadow coming.
My little
in.
Gruff going on, yeah, and I'll just be going to parties all summer long, just being like, "Hey, you smoke? You want to go down to the beach?" And that's all
car.
I'll say.
Yeah
sleep in my car, prepping for my amateur tennis matches. That's the life I want to live. Is that bad? That sounds so appealing to me.
I mean, there's something about it that's like freeing, but it also just sounds awful. Like my back just like felt so bad for him. I was like, "Oh my, how can you do anything the next day?" That's crazy.
Brutal. Yeah. Well, I'm glad I got the ashtray. I'm glad I got the socks. Okay. We have some real studio news here. Some real A24 news. Sally Hawkins is set to star in the next horror movie from the Talk to Me directors. The Filippo? Is it Filippo?
Filippo?
Filippo? Brothers? Raka Raka, essentially.
Yeah.
New horror film, Bring Her Back for A24. We don't know a single fucking thing about this movie. It doesn't exist online. There's no information about this except like this headline. That's literally the article is this. And that's it.
That's it. And honestly, like that's kind of all we need. Sally Hawkins is legit. Sold. She's fantastic. Raka Raka, obviously they killed it with Talk to Me. I will be seated. You know, I'm excited about it.
Yeah, definitely. I'll be seated as well. It seems to me that A24 has stuck their heels in the ground in a good way when it comes to retaining horror talent, and they know what they have, especially with this kind of new crop that's outside of like the Ari Aster, Eggers kind of era. This is we've got Raka Raka, we've got Ty West with Maxine coming out, and it feels like they made a smart choice by allowing these creators to like build their worlds within the A24 confines. Yeah, sounds great. We're going to be seated. Next point of business. Studio Canal and A24 are teaming up on a revenge thriller named Huntington, starring Glenn Powell, Margaret Qualley, and Ed Harris. We've got a trifecta of people in this movie.
Yeah.
The film follows Beckett Redfellow, played by Glenn Powell, the heir to a multi-billion-dollar fortune who will stop at nothing to get what he deserves or what he thinks he deserves. John Patton Ford is going to direct and write an original screenplay. John Patton Ford did Emily the Criminal back in 2022. Did you ever see Emily the Criminal?
No, I didn't get around to that one, but I mean, I do love Aubrey Plaza. I haven't seen that.
You're pro Aubrey Plaza then?
Yeah.
You just don't watch her films, but you support her in general.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like Sting and Zoolander. Where it's like, I don't listen to his music, but I appreciate what he does. Can I just tell you a fun Aubrey Plaza story?
Please do. Plaza content.
Were you familiar with Nick Kroll and John Mulaney's stand-up thing they did, like the Broadway show they did, the old guys, George and Gil?
I think vaguely.
Yeah. So every night they had like a new guest that would come on stage with them. My partner and I went to go see it in on Broadway, and our guest was Aubrey Plaza that night.
What? Yeah. No way.
Yeah, which also was kind of weird because she was like being
not
like
Aubrey
her character
Plaza?
From yeah, she wasn't like being herself. She was still kind of her character from Parks and Rec, you know, where she was just like standoffish and stuff. Like, oh, she's not being like, this isn't super funny. This is kind of a bummer. You know, like
bringing me
just
down.
Seeing, like all the other guests they had on were like stand-ups who would like play along with them and stuff. And she was just like, no, I'm not giving into this shit. I was like, oh, all right, well, that's cool. But still, it was fun to see Aubrey Plaza. But not her movies, just her.
Just her in person. I liked Emily the Criminal. I thought it was quite good. 2022, kind of a weak year for movies, especially kind of like coming out of the pandemic a little bit. So
yeah,
it was nice to have a little, you know, tight knit thriller with Aubrey Plaza leading the way. I'm very pro Aubrey Plaza, and I think we should all support everything she does all the time.
Mm-hmm.
This movie, Glenn Powell, Margaret Qualley, Ed Harris. I texted you this news, and your response was like, I hope Ed Harris gets to wear the Lovelace bleeding wig, which I could not be more on board with.
That's like my one wish for this movie. I don't really care what else happens. I just want I want every movie he's in from now on. I want him to wear that wig. I hope they make it permanent because I love that.
If anybody's going to stick with a bit, it should be Ed Harris in that wig. He should just see it out every movie he's in. He should just
why not
make that happen.
Yeah,
you excited for this movie?
Yeah, of course. I think it's going to be great. I think we're just like receiving so much Glenn Powell wonderfulness. Yeah. So I'm happy to see it continue going on. I'm very excited about Twisters. I think it's going to be awesome. And Margaret Qualley, like the stuff I've seen her in, I enjoy her in. So I don't know. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I'm here for it. Did you ever see Drive Away Dolls with Margaret Qualley?
No, I did not watch that.
Okay. I didn't watch it either. So much like you, I took to the Aubrey Plaza School of Thought and I thought, you know what? I support her, but yeah, this is a movie I'm going to skip. So
I'm sure she did a great job.
Yeah. I'm sure she was great in it. Yeah. Very, I'm always pro Ed Harris, of course. Very, very pro Glenn Powell. Twisters, is it going to be the hit of the summer? Like the secret hit of the summer?
I mean, I feel like it is going to be. What blows my mind, and I think about it every single time I watch this trailer, is that this is the Minari dude. Like, this is Lee Isaac Chung.
So, you know what I mean? What a fucking swerve from this guy to go from Minari, and then he's like, we're going to fire up a Twister sequel.
Yeah, we're doing a legacy sequel for Twisters. Like, cool, dude. I'm fucking here for it. So,
sick, bro.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think it's going to be fantastic.
I think it is going to be incredible.
The cast is great, too. I mean, speaking of Love Lives Bleeding, like, I think Katie O'Brien is in Twisters.
Katie O'Brien, David Corn-Sweat, Kiernan Shipka, Brandon Pereira. Speaking of great movies, Nope. He was in Nope.
Anthony Ramos.
Mara Tierney, Anthony Ramos, Glenn Powell, Daisy Edgar Jones.
Yeah, I love it.
This movie cost $200 million to make, though.
You think that's
okay? There's no way it's going to have good box office pull if it costs 200 mil.
I think you can kind of see it in the trailers, though. Like, it looks legit. Right?
Yeah, like, it looks really good. Do you think that people are still on the Glenn Powell high? Like, has his time from Top Gun Maverick, has that fizzled? Has it faded?
I mean, is that what it's called?
Yeah, that's true. Anyone but you.
That thing was in the theaters forever.
That's true. Did pretty good business. I came home from a movie the other night and I was like, to my wife, and I was like, hey, what'd you do while I was gone? Like, how was it? Fully hoping she would just be like, I was so sad and so lonely. And she just
kept drinking. I missed you so much.
She was like, I watched that new movie on Netflix with Sydney Sweeney. And I was like, oh, Anyone But You. How was it? Like, I heard it was pretty good. She goes, not good. And I was like, oh my God, why? Like, I'm pro Sydney Sweeney. I'm pro Glenn Powell. Like, mm-hmm. We need rom-coms back. I heard it did good business. Like, what's the deal? She revealed a little bit of information to me that I thought was exceptionally fascinating, to say the least. She said she didn't watch the trailer and she went in under the impression that it was actually a romantic drama and that there would be zero comedy involved. And because of that take, she was disappointed in the film, rightfully so. Totally understand.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Key lesson here, anything with Glenn Powell and Sydney Sweeney, with them cheesing like that on the thumbnail, probably not a drama.
I'm trying to think of other movies now, like if Step Brothers was a drama, you know, someone thought it was a drama, they were throwing out
and went
like
into
that.
It and they're just like, what the fuck is going on in
this
movie?
It's like that man's nutsack is on his drums. What is happening right now? This is not serious. Yeah.
Oh God, I feel so bad for her. That's tough. I'm here for Huntington. We don't know anything more about it, but we've shared what we do know. Okay, yeah. I've got two more pieces of business, one movie focused here. This is a big one. This is brand new out of the Hollywood Reporter just this week, just like a day or two ago, maybe even today that we're recording. I don't know.
I've been skimming this, and this is all news to me, so I'm excited for you to share it with our listeners and with me.
Yes. Okay, let's all learn together. We're all going to go through this together. I've got a big monologue here of all the news, so take this in. Turn on your news ears and let it wash over you.
It'll look like I'm asleep, but I'm listening. Trust me.
You're actually meditating to my A24 news monologue.
Exactly.
Okay, A24 outbid studios and streamers to pick up Checkmate, a new feature based on a book proposal from Ben Mezrich, whose books were adapted into films such as The Social Network and Dumb Money. This guy's a pretty good writer, gets his stuff adapted, makes some pretty good movies. I haven't seen Dumb Money. Did you ever see Dumb Money?
No, I'm excited for you to keep asking me about movies that I haven't seen. Cause I think that's every movie tonight.
You're like, no,
have you
no,
seen this? Like,
no,
I have not.
You know, it's a good thing you host an A24 pod because you watch A24 things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we'll do A24 things, but nothing else.
I've still got my GameStop stock. I'm holding the line. I will hold until it breaks. So
to the moon.
Yeah, to the moon, baby. Here we go. Nathan Fielder is set to direct this movie. This is going to be his first feature film that he's directing, while Emma Stone, along with her husband, Dave McCary, they are both going to produce this movie through their production company, Fruit Tree. This is now obviously re-teaming the couple from The Curse in Nathan Fielder and Emma Stone. I'm going to tell you what this movie is all about. It's based on the proposal that is being circulated that apparently is only like 12 pages long. I guess there's really not a lot out about this because it is based on a forthcoming book, to my understanding. The book is going to spotlight the biggest scandal in the history of chess, focusing on the generational battle between Grandmaster Magnus Carlsen and the young bad boy of chess, Hans Niemann. The latter was accused of cheating in one of the pair's head-to-head matches, which became a scandal that outgrew the world of chess. It's also going to tend to the rise of a billion-dollar chess industry and the so-called collision of tradition and innovation in the game. That's what we know about the movie, about the proposal, about Checkmate in general. Now, there's some more things that I want to share that I think is really interesting about this bidding process from like an A24 perspective. But I'll pause for a moment and check in on your meditation. Have you been enlightened to the world of chess and the world of, quite honestly, Nathan Fielder directing a feature-length film?
I'm very excited about it. I'm like vaguely familiar with the story as you're talking about. I was like, okay, I do remember there being like a kerfuffle, if you will, in the chess world. So I think this is like, this could be a really fun movie for them for sure.
I think it could be good. I'm really interested. It sounds very dramatic, of course. If we're comparing it to movies like The Social Network, I think that kind of sets a certain tone of what we're going to get out of this book. I'm totally in. I'm not a huge chess guy. Like, I'm not familiar with this situation in particular. I never watched The Queen's Gambit?
Queen's Gambit, yeah.
You ever watched The Queen's Gambit?
Hey, I have. I watched that.
We got him. We did it.
We found one. We found one thing. Yeah. Are you going to take chess up? I guess that's the question, though.
What was the question?
Are you going to take up chess? Are you going to learn?
Of course. Well, I would hope by the time that this movie comes out that I will actually be a world champion.
Yeah.
So that way I can get invited to the premiere as
a
chess world
champion. Chess game that we can play against each other.
I think that's what we should do for our 18-hour pod.
We should make an A24 group chess thing. That'd be fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that will be, and then in 30 years that there'll be another spec script based on us and our uprising through the now multi-billion-dollar industry.
I love it. Yeah. Let's make it happen.
Wow, we've done it. Here is the interesting bits to me. This package that's like going around, I guess, to being shopped at different studios, different streamers. There were different directors and talent with each package that went to different studios, different streamers for this sale. Here's what the Hollywood Reporter put in the article. Ron Howard to direct, Alex Convery, the guy who wrote the screenplay for Air, which quite honestly should have been nominated for an Oscar. I'll stand by that take.
I saw that.
you saw Air?
I saw Air.
Nice. Okay. But
I just want to throw it out
pro
there.
Air? Pro Air?
Air, yeah, pro Air.
Okay, good. Yeah, I am pro Ben Affleck wearing very ridiculous glasses.
Yeah,
quite honestly.
Yeah, he killed it.
That package went to Amazon, and Netflix had a package with Taron Egerton set to star. Warner Bros. Had Harry Potter producer David Heyman involved in their package, and apparently all of these packages went around. A24 swooped in with an offer that is a guaranteed seven-figure deal. They put a 30-minute timer on the deal for whatever, Ben to accept this, I guess, like Ben Mezrick. I don't know who's accepting this, but whoever accepts this deal. And they swiftly accepted this deal. Now, another interesting little tidbit in this article is that it mentioned how A24 wanted to acquire 28 Years Later, which, again, speaking of legacy sequels, this is like a legacy sequel to 28 Days Later, 28 Weeks Later, this kind of franchise from director Danny Boyle. I guess A24 was outbid on that, and so they threw all their money at this movie, Checkmate, felt like it was right up their alley, and they got it. Guaranteed seven figures. That's a lot of money for like rights to a movie. That's it. Yeah. That's all that they bought. There's nothing else that comes with that. I mean, they have figured out Emma Stone and Fruit Tree are going to produce, Nathan Fielder will direct, but like, what's a timeline looking like on this thing? Like, I have zero idea.
Yeah, I have no clue. Like, it doesn't necessarily sound like a super extensive film that would need a long time to film. Like, there's a reality where it comes out next year, 2025.
Sure, sure.
You know, if the script's already done, all that kind of stuff. But I don't know. I'm excited, though, because, I mean, Nathan Fielder, he's hilarious, and this is going to be his first feature. I feel like it's in good hands.
Yeah, I feel like it's really good hands. I, quite honestly, I would not be surprised if in the coming months we see Benny Safdie's name attached to this in some way, shape, or form.
I was thinking that too. Yeah, it makes sense.
To not only get like the trifecta from The Curse, a trifecta that I think works quite well, but it seems like, at least to me, that Benny Safdie and Nathan Fielder have this like cosmic understanding of each other and like each other's tone and art. And I think that could be good at play here. Checkmate. Coming out sometime. I don't know. A24's got it, and it's theirs. It's in the bag. Last piece of business here before we talk about Rami Youssef's stand-up. Joey, you listen to the pod. We love you, Joey. Thanks for listening to the pod.
Thank you, Joey.
Some serious fucking feedback for you, Ben.
Yes, he does.
He is dying to hear our thoughts on the ending of The Curse. Speaking of Nathan Fielder and Emma Stone, he tweeted and said, whatever I have to do to get Ben to finish The Curse and talk about it on the pod, I fully support. We covered the first five episodes of The Curse a couple of months ago here on the show. We have considered, we've pontificated doing episodes 6 through 10, as we generally do with shows.
Yeah.
You have vehemently betrayed Joey's trust, is what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, I mean, that was my goal. So here we are. We did
mission
it.
Accomplished.
Mission accomplished. What did we run? It was like the Oscars. Is that why we never finished it? Like, did it end during the Oscars?
Yes,
why didn't we cover it?
I believe it did. Yeah, I believe we had to split it because it did end during our 10-week Oscar run.
Gotcha.
It did not end like literally during the Oscars in March, but it ended during our coverage here on the show.
That makes sense.
Can you commit right now on air to doing this? Because I need the people to know.
We can commit by the end of 2024.
Oh my God.
Watched The Curse.
That's not a commitment that I'm happy with.
What do you mean? That's
June. Give it to me next month.
June for The Curse. Let's see what we got coming out, but we can maybe do that.
you're like, I'm praying that A24 drops a shit ton
release,
of new stuff.
Release
in June.
Everything, you guys. Release it all.
Look, Joey, I'm on your side. I've seen The Curse. I love The Curse. I think it is a TV I think it is a transcendent television show of our generation, quite honestly. And I don't think that's putting it lightly. Not to like hype you up or anything for The Curse. A show which I'm pretty sure you're gonna come into this pod and say that was bad. So I'm waiting for that day. I'm excited for that day. That's the thing. I want it to come. Those types of conversations are like Christmas morning to me. And I need them to live.
So make it happen.
Make it happen.
Just so we know, A24 does have two new releases coming out in June.
What do we got? What do we got on the slate?
A movie called Tuesday comes out June 14th, and a movie called Janet Planet, which we have seen a trailer for.
Yes.
Comes out June 21st. So sounds like we got June 7th or June 28th. We'll see what happens.
Fired up. Joey, you let us know. We'll pen it in the schedule.
We'll make
that's
it happen.
That's what I'm telling right now. That's exciting. Janet Planet playing at Seattle International Film Festival here in the first couple of weeks of May. A festival I'm unfortunately not able to make, but I do have a few screeners for them. So I'm excited to check some of those out.
Nice.
Okay. Fuck. Now we got talking about The Curse. Now I just kind of want to talk about The Curse and Challengers. But here we are. Let's talk about Rami Youssef. Let's talk about what we're covering here on the pod today.
Let's do it.
I feel like we had a lot of housekeeping to take care of And I feel like we did pretty good. Let's talk about Rami Youssef. This is a new, like, 55-minute stand-up from him. It is a I guess, a sequel, like a follow-up to his first stand-up called Rami Youssef Feelings.
Yeah.
And it is basically him commenting on, like, geopolitical situations going on in the world and humanitarian disaster, and kind of evolving into a more, I guess, standardized, like, comedy topics by the end of the show. Now, this particular stand-up was filmed while he was in somewhere in New Jersey, and he does mention that it is a charity show, and while he was on tour doing all of these charity shows, all of the profits from these shows have gone to humanitarian aid in Gaza, which is fucking incredible. What do you think of Rami Youssef as a guy, as a comedian, as an actor? Have you seen him in other stuff? Where are you at?
He unfortunately falls into my Jenny Slate area here, where it's like, I like him, or not Jenny Slate, Aubrey Plaza, sorry, wrong person.
Oh, okay, okay.
Where he falls into, like, yeah, I like Rami Youssef. I haven't seen him in a ton of stuff, though. But, like, I know we talked about covering his show on here, Rami. It was just few seasons. Maybe we'll do that before we get to The Curse. Who knows?
Oh, I was absolutely going to say the opposite thing. I think we'll have to put off on Rami.
Yeah. But, no, like, I enjoy what I've seen. He seems like... And I really liked this quite a bit. So it seems like someone that have, like, very similar views as, and I enjoy his comedy quite a bit.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. I generally don't like stand-ups. Like, I just, it's just, like, not my kind of a thing. Honestly, I have a hard time, like, watching them. But I was watching it and Molly was watching parts of it with me here and there. She was watching part of it, and I was like, that's the guy from Poor Things, just FYI, in case you didn't know. And she clocked him, and I feel like she didn't believe me at first. And then probably 6 seconds went by, and then she turned to me, she goes, oh my God, it is. It's him. He's from Poor Things. And I was like, yes, he is. That's exactly what I just told you. I think he's quite good in Poor Things, actually. I think he's very, very good. I guess he was in Wish. You see Wish?
No. No, to keep the trend going of stuff.
Another strike.
Like the Disney animated movie.
Yeah, the Disney animated movie. It's here. It's on his Letterboxd. I have no idea. Apparently, he plays somebody named Safi, and I don't know what that means.
You have kids?
No, I do have kids. Indeed, I do. They love Wish, and they want to watch it all of the time, and I do not join them on that journey. I just can't get on that train.
And you didn't want them to come on the pod and tell us their thoughts on Rami Youssef. All right.
It's just not. Well, you know, I did tee him up. I was like, listen, Olive, there's this one obscure character. He's voiced by somebody. Can you just like come hop on for about 6 minutes and help me out?
Give me a tight five on Rami, if you don't mind.
Give me a tight five on the mic, if you could. I haven't really seen him in other things, actually. So I haven't watched his television show. This and Poor Things is kind of all that I've seen him in. I thought it was pretty good. I like his vibe. I like his energy. I like the way that he holds the microphone. Very relaxed, very nonchalant. I like his beanie. I think his beanie game is on point. I don't know where he gets his beanies, but I Rami, if you let me know, that'd be great. So, you know, I like what he brings. I thought the 55-minute, like, showtime, I thought it was premium. I thought it was, like, a great runtime.
It was wonderful. Like, wasn't too long. Everything was tight and dialed in, like, nice under an hour. I loved it. I thought it was wonderful.
Yeah. Kept moving pretty swiftly. Pretty good. We'll go through True Cinema here and just maybe talk about some of the bigger, broader points of his stand-up show and see what we devolve into here.
I'm just excited for you to, like, retell all of these jokes, so...
I will not be doing that. I will make a conscious effort to not be retelling these jokes. I'm looking at these bullet points and I'm already starting to panic because I don't know how I'm going to give context to them without sounding like a total dunce.
Let's do our best.
Opening of the show is opened by Steve Way, and he's talking about his friends and how his friends won't kill him, and even though he doesn't want to be on this planet, and he was not supposed to live, I think, past like 18, and he's 30 now.
Yeah.
And this is his introduction to Rami. Did you like this opening? I don't know Steve Wei. Should I know him?
I mean, if you should, I should too, but I have no idea who he is. I thought this was a hilarious intro because it does kind of catch you off guard. He's, you know, for context, he's a paraplegic. So, and that's kind of what he's talking about. It's just like, yeah, he wasn't supposed to live past 18. He's like 35 now. And he's like, this place sucks. Like, Earth sucks. Like, it's going to hell. It's like, it's hot. Like, the people are mean, all this kind of stuff. And he's like, and the worst thing about it is that I can't kill myself. Like, I physically can't do it. Yeah. And even worse than that is all my friends are pussies and they won't kill me either. And it's just like talking about Rami. And I saw, like, it was just a great intro of just like a completely different, the tone's different from the rest of the show, but it's something like to really catch you off guard. Maybe he's a stand up and, you know, cause obviously stand ups always have openers. So maybe that's what it is. I don't know, but I loved it. I thought it was such a good way to start it.
Yeah, it's only maybe like 3 or 4 minutes. It's quite short. I think it's funny in theory. I don't think that type of comedy is, like, it's just not for me. I just don't connect with it at all. Like, it's just not my style. So while I understood, like, the tonal juxtaposition and, like, the opening to Rami diving into, like, all of these very important political situations happening all over the world and, like, really changing what Steve was talking about, I was like, yo, where's my guy Rami? So that's my take on the
is it because it's there. Like super dark humor, or like what part of it isn't your jam?
Maybe like that type of like morbid humor is not really for me.
I don't know.
Like, I don't have a problem with like laughing at you know, someone with a physical disability, like making fun of themselves. Like, kudos to you. Like, that's you found your bag, you found your thing, and that's great. I've got a roadblock with that, and it just doesn't. I just can't open the gates. You know what I mean?
That's totally understandable. Yeah.
So I don't understand comedy is kind of where I'm at. Maybe I never will. Who knows? Okay. Some funny bits here in the beginning when he gets pretty serious. I don't know if you had a similar feeling to this, but since this is kind of my first introduction to Rami Youssef, I had watched his SNL monologue a few weeks ago, which I thought was quite excellent. He does pull some of these bits in this stand-up and put them in the monologue, which I noticed, which I thought was well done. But he kind of gives off this aura sometimes of, like, I can't tell if he's going to dive into, like, a 7-minute TED Talk on why we all need to be, you know, supporting the floods in Pakistan.
Yeah.
Or if he's going to go for 90 seconds and then just like rip the Band-Aid off and tell a punchy one-liner, which is what he ends up doing. But I was a little confused at first. I was like, where are we landing with this?
Yeah, I think I get that. I think that's a sign of a good comedian where you can't necessarily always tell what they're going to do, what their joke style is. Like, it works for some for sure, but there are others. I find myself that way with certain comedians where, like, I don't like their delivery, so I don't enjoy them as comedians. It's not that what they're saying isn't funny, it's just I don't like how they're saying it. So I totally hear what you're saying.
You just sound very Michael Scott there. You're like, I don't like whatever you're giving off.
Whatever you're doing, I don't like.
It's not for me. Yeah. All that to say, I did like most of the things that he did in this introduction bit here. He kind of talks about, like the floods in Pakistan. And then he goes on to say, like, we're all dry. Like, that's why we don't understand it, because we're all here dry, which, like, that's funny. I get it. He also made a joke about Instagram stories versus Instagram grid. Mm-hmm. Now, are you, you're on Instagram. You're more of a stories guy though, right?
Yeah. My grid is pretty few and far between. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't really post there all the time. I think two of my last three things have been like pictures people have taken of me.
Sure.
Like profile pictures, and that's it.
Paparazzis. Okay.
So three pictures back. I'm on my grid right now. So three pictures ago.
Uh-huh.
June of 2021.
Wow. Three pictures ago.
You're hitting, almost 3 years
you're
ago.
You're hitting 3 years in three yeah. picks.
Yeah.
What a span.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should be scared or impressed.
I mean, I don't know either, but that's what I got. So,
okay.
And then I did a little recap of my trip to Japan and then my newest profile picture. That's my last three pictures, two profile pictures and a travelog.
Wow. That's something. Yeah. My grid, I don't really understand how Instagram like works anymore. Ever since like this kind of new thing. But my grid is full of reviews that I have been tagged as a contributor in for the website okay. that I write for. So there's that. I do have a post from March when I went to South by Southwest and I did post that in the grid. Mm. Other than that, the post, really the first real post before that, September 2023, when I went to New York Film Festival. Nice. So I'm not really a grid guy either. It's just like not my cup of tea. Rami goes on to say and make a joke that the grid is real and stories not so real.
Yeah.
Do you tend to abide by that?
No, I don't agree with that. Like that's ridiculous. That's yeah. I think stories are valid for sure. You know, obviously that's
yeah.
where most of my stuff ends up. Yeah. And like, you know,
I'm a very pro story guy as well. Let's just get that on the record.
Pro
I'm
story.
Like,
yeah.
And like stories exclusively almost.
Yeah. Like it's quality, not quantity on the grid. Like let's keep it to the good stuff, you know.
Let's be honest,
stories
with each other.
Is for everything. So yeah, yeah. I'm all for it.
Yeah, stories encompass the best of both worlds. So yeah, I'm with Rami on this one because the joke stems from him posting something on his story and saying that he was supporting some feminism movements. So I look just as valid on the story as if it's on the grid, in yeah. my opinion. Then he goes on to do this bit about Biden and how when Biden was initially getting elected, this bit, he also kind of put a little bit in his SNL monologue that he pulled a few weeks ago from how Biden's team like kind of called him up and basically said, like, you've got to help us save Arab America. You got to get the Arabs to vote. You're the guy and you can do it. I love where this bit goes because obviously tackles Biden, tackles Trump, MAGA, everything like that. Really funny how he says he was in upstate New York and then he got picked up in a car that was like MAGA'd out. And he goes, I went north, but I went south. And he kind of does this play on like where the South is, which I thought was really effective and funny. And how I think his delivery through this entire bit of like the kind of the whispers and the like the pauses to really like enunciate the absolute horseshit state of politics. Mm-hmm. Really impressive stuff.
Where were you on January 6th? I think you all want to know where you were. Were you storming the Capitol?
That's tough. That's tough to answer. I've got to talk to some people before I...
There's a lot of legal stuff.
Yeah, before the truth gets out. A lot of red tape we got to traverse through.
A
question my team wasn't ready for tonight. Let's just put it that way.
I shouldn't have thrown you off like that.
Where were you on January 6th, Ben? That's the real question.
I should have put something on the grid that day so I could just tell people where I was. Like, I was here. I'm on the grid.
That was actually your grid post. I'm at the Capitol. Look what I'm doing.
Look at me and all my friends. yeah, this stuff was really good because I think about that with celebrities sometimes, just like the shit they have to put up with, just like endorsing political candidates and stuff, which is like you just get dragged into this stuff where it's not necessarily why you got into the medium or the art, you know, that you did, and now you just got to be like, yeah, Biden, man, like, let's do it. Yeah. You know, whatever.
Let's vote for Joe.
Yeah. It's just like, I don't know. It seems like we're always just trying to pick the lesser of two evils. Like, I don't know that, like, I don't know. It's weird, man. Politics is fucking strange, but I really enjoyed his bit about just, yeah, being in New York and still being surrounded by MAGA people. Like, yeah. It happens. They're everywhere. As someone who lives in Utah, they're everywhere.
Sure. Yeah. Look, I do live in Portland, so my January 6th alibi is not really being helped because there's a lot of, as Civil War, as A24's prominent movie Civil War states, Portland really, really pivotal in the downfall of the American government, quite honestly. And Antifa really, really ruining things over here. Yeah, I really liked the Biden bit. I think it worked really, really well. His next kind of bit goes on about his wife, talks about Saudi Arabia. He talks about this journalist, Jamal Khashoggi, how basically it was this journalist that was tortured and murdered in Saudi Arabia. And while it was a little on like the morbid side for me, I liked the latter part of this bit where he is basically like, every time that my wife is like merging on the freeway, I'll just try to like fuck with her and ask her like, do you know what happened to Jamal Khashoggi? Like where is he? What information can you tell me? What are you not telling me? I thought that was really, really funny stuff. And, again, delivered really well, but yeah. I don't know. I don't know anything about that. That was the first time I had ever heard that name. So I feel like credit to Rami for like putting important things in the bits. You know what I mean? Like I am a more learned person now because of this.
You are smarter because you watch this, and that's all we can ask for. That's
awesome. Yeah, isn't that all we want at the end of the day? To watch a stand-up special and at the end think, I am a smarter human being.
Just want to learn something. yeah, this was a really good bit. I liked all the stuff he said, like when he just tries to catch his wife off guard, if it's like right when they're going to bed or something like that, just like whispering.
During foreplay,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, like what happened to Jamal Khashoggi. yeah, I don't know, man, like... This was a pretty solid bit for me. I liked the stand-up as a whole, so I thought this part was solid.
Next thing I want to point out, he mentions people with flags in the house and makes a pretty funny run at the American flag and then is talking about this girl that he's hooking up with who has an Israeli flag like in her home and how that's a big red flag. And then he mentions a bit about a Mexican flag, and he says something along the lines of like, except Mexican flags. Like every time he sees a Mexican flag, he just thinks, I hope your soccer team is doing well. Mm. I just got to be honest with you, as a former like big soccer guy, this bit I was keeled over. I was like, that is so on point. It is entirely true of myself as well. So this line, this one line in particular, I was like, Rami, you did it. This is it.
It's funny because, yeah, I feel the same way as like someone who lived in Brazil for a while. Like whenever I see a Brazilian flag, it just makes me think of their soccer team. It's like, hell yeah.
Like, man,
Brazil,
best of luck.
Let's go, man. Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, this bit was good. I think if I remember correctly, it was in the context of like all flags belong outside. It's like, unless it's a Mexican flag, like you can have that inside for sure. Like that's totally cool. Like they can get away with it. So, yeah, this was a great bit. And yeah, I'm not like a diehard soccer person, but like I got it. And it was super funny.
Yeah. Got the joke for sure. One of the last like really big bits was him writing a book report on Gandhi when he was a kid and basically not reading the book or starting the book the night before the book report is due. Then writing the book report and hoping that he wouldn't get caught for plagiarism. He gets caught by his teacher. His teacher has his dad read his book report. And you know, this story evolves, leads to other things, X, Y, and Z. I thought this was really impressive from Rami because he circles back to this a lot, like in the final 20 minutes, and he kind of always brings it back to this route, like with his dad. He mentions how dads can be awake but not awoken, which I thought was really funny because I share that sentiment of my father as well. As a near 30-year-old person, I still feel like that is true. And yeah, I am curious how are your book reports in school? You ever do a book report?
So I like connected with this so hard where he's just like, I was a procrastinator, and I still am, but I definitely was in school where it was just the night before something was due, I was like, oh shit, I need to do that tonight.
Oh, you're a night before guy. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So the night before, like, no matter what it is, if it's just like a little bit of homework, but I also had one where I had to build like a poster diorama about the state of New York. And I told my mom like the night before, it's like, hey, do we have any poster board? I have to make something. She's like, wow. What are you talking about?
Unbelievable.
It's like Sunday night and I have to do this. I'm like, oh yeah, I just forgot about it. So I totally understood when he was just talking about like 3 o'clock. Oh, I got plenty of time to read 400 pages. Dude. 6 o'clock. No big deal. 10 o'clock. I can do this. Okay. This is great. You know, it's just like, yeah, this is
when he was like, no. When that clock hits double digits, the walls start to close in. And yeah. I was like, abso-fucking-lutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I unfortunately was a good student and, I was pretty ahead of the game on book reports. Nice. I don't remember in particular who I did one on. I'm sure I did several on several different people. But I remember always being ahead of the game on that. So I've got nothing scandalous to report on the book report front. Unlike Rami, night before guy, but you know what? I'm happy for you guys. Night before guys, you know, unite.
Look, we're all here together. So whether you did it the night before or you did it on time, we're all here together. The one thing I do remember from a book report is I had to do one on James Madison because we had to do it on a president and we had the same birthday. That's like the only thing I remember. It's like,
wow.
Yeah.
The American school system really instilled some great facts into you.
Yeah. So if you have any questions about James Madison, the 4th U.S. president,
you're the guy.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Wow. That's incredible. I don't remember anything about anything from school. Did you want to cover any other bits, any other things that happened during the show that you wanted to make a mention of?
I don't think anything in particular. Like, I think I just want to talk about how great of a job he did telling that final book report story.
Yeah.
And you know, to kind of give away my true cinema moment is when he talks about when he's reading, he can't help but think about like, oh damn, I'm reading. Like, I'm so smart right now. Like, I'm reading. It's like, dude, I connect with that way too much. Where it's like, look at me, man. I could be watching a movie. I could be playing video games, but like, I'm fucking reading. It's like, I'll send pictures to my friends. I'm only on page 6, but I'm going to send them pictures and be like, yo guys, you should be reading. It's like, yeah, I feel that way. It's like, I should let people know I'm reading right now. So I thought that was great. And then
that's why you're an IG story guy. You got to pin it. You got to put it up there. People
gotta
to
let
know.
Them know. Yeah. 24 hours, you guys, I've been reading. So check it out. Yeah. So I thought that bit was great. Just the long form aspect of this story of like the dad, him also falling asleep while reading and just, yeah, it was so well done. Tying it all together at the end. So this was awesome.
Yeah, I agree. I echo that sentiment. I thought his storytelling abilities was really, really good. I think my true cinema is probably the beginning of that story, reading the book report, and basically teaming up with his mom to bring his dad down easy on the truth of what happened with him not writing the book report. And basically his mom making all of his dad's favorite meals and then working together and saying like, okay, like when your father gets home, like let him know I made all of his favorite things. When his dad gets home, Rami says that he turns into like a maitre d' that's like, you know, welcome. You're going to have such a great meal. We're going to take you down the Nile. Mm-hmm. It's going to be such a great dinner, such a great time. And then his dad responds and says, I'm not hungry. He then shares that information with his mother and his mom is like, this is not good. And I think the enunciation, the spacing, like the way that Rami tells that story is hysterical to me. Mm. Really, really well done. So that would be my true cinema moment. Okay. A1 Acts. We're going to do stand-up comedians. I feel like it's only right.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It's only right. Like I said, I'm not really a stand-up comedian guy. Are you overall your pro stand-up comedian?
I love stand up. That's one of my favorite things, which was also surprising to me during the whole Steve Martin thing that I've never watched any of his stand up because I think stand up is hilarious when it's done right. So I'm a big fan. I'm excited to go over this topic.
This is interesting because I don't watch any stand up whatsoever. So we're just gonna try our best here. We're gonna shoot for the stars. Obviously, we got Rami Youssef, Bo Burnham, Bill Burr. Really, really starting me off with the bees there.
Yeah, I got you.
Thanks,
going, man.
Thanks for making the list. George Carlin, Eddie Murphy, Tig Notaro, Kevin Hart, Steve Martin, Robin Williams, Bill Hicks, Lenny Bruce, Dave Chappelle, Richard Pryor, John Mulaney, Patton Oswalt, Joan Rivers, Jerry Seinfeld, Sarah Silverman, Mike, what is this?
Birbiglia.
Mike Birbiglia.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was trying to be like,
I don't think I know who that person is.
Modern day people. It's okay. I think he only has like 6 specials on Netflix, so there's no reason that you should know who Mike Birbiglia is.
I was literally opening Netflix on my phone, and I was going to look up stand-up specials to see if we missed anybody, and it sounds like that would be the person that would probably pick up. There is... Who did I mention when we were making these notes?
That you I'm did mention right how now. Much you love and respect Louis C.K. and everything he's ever done. So
yes,
I
want
to do that off for you so that you can just like pick him. But
him and I actually teamed up on Jan 6. We were together.
I bet you did. Talking about cranking it. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we were just talking about cranking it when Challengers comes out down the road five years from then. And you know how we'd just be enjoying the America that we were helping create on that
That's
day.
That's understandable.
Yeah. Was
it Steve or something? I don't know what the person's name was. I had never heard of Trevor. I don't know. I'd never heard of this person before.
Sebastian Maniscalco. Sebastian. Was the name. Great Italian comedian. Tom Segura, also on Netflix. And Nate Bargatze. I wanted to put on here as well. I think Nate Bargatze is pretty funny. Yeah. Didn't you see Nate Bargatze live in person?
Yeah, I've seen it a couple times, yeah.
Wow, really?
Yeah. It's
all
like
right. That's all you've got to share about that.
I mean, I think he's hilarious, and he was going to be one of the ones I mentioned when it was my turn. So
yes, suck it. It. I won. I did it.
Nate is fantastic. He's hilarious. Mm-hmm. Are you going with Sebastian? Is that your dude, or who are you going to go with your...
Yeah, I'm going to go with Sebastian Maniscalco. He's the only stand-up comedian that I have seen live, and okay. He was incredibly funny live. Recommend checking out his stuff. I think he's great. R.I.P., you know, Jerry Seinfeld, we had a good run is what I'll say about him. I'm still pro Seinfeld television show. Mm-hmm. I think unfortunately, you know, we're falling Jan 6th, just taking all of us over. So what are you going to do?
Wokeness, you know, it's what's killing Jerry Seinfeld these days.
Tough bit. Comedy's too woke these days.
Comedy's
That's
woke.
Yeah. Yeah. I get well, it. You know, it's a tough reality here.
Yeah. Mine that I'm going to pick that I left off here, never got to see him. But it's a comedian named Mitch Hedberg. And he, to me, is just like one of the funniest to ever do it. Very unique, like one-liner style, kind of like Stephen Wright. And I just think he has my favorite special of all time. I think he's hilarious. And that's who, yeah, I would recommend people check out if they haven't listened to him.
That's good. I have zero idea what you're talking about. So
cool.
I feel like, again, you know, I just try to go into things and hope I come out on the other side a smarter person. And I feel like we've done that tonight.
Mitch is really hit or miss. Like you either get his humor or you're just like, oh, this is not for me. Like I don't know that I've met anyone who's like mid on Mitch. You know what I mean? No one's like, yeah, he's fine. It's just like you either really like his humor
full,
or you're just like, I don't know if this is for me or not.
Okay. Well, duly noted. I do want to give a shout out to Bo Burnham, somebody of whom I just got some of his song lyrics tattooed on me a few days ago. So I feel like that warrants a shout out here on the stand-up list. A24 ranking for Rami Youssef, More Feelings. How do we do this? How does this apply to stand-up special?
It feels the same kind of like the Steve thing, you know, it's just like, this is different than their feature films. This is its own thing. Like for me, there wasn't a bit of this stand up that I didn't like, but I also don't know that there was any of the stand up that like really made me laugh out loud other than the intro. Like there was some funny stuff for sure, but there was nothing that was just like, oh my God, that's hilarious. So like, I think I would give this like a B or a B minus 24, which is still a positive review, but it's just like, it was fine. I don't know. They need to revisit it. I'm curious to watch Feelings. Like I want to see that one, but if I'm ever in the mood to put on a stand-up special, I would probably throw on Mitch again. You know what I mean? Like this probably isn't going to enter the rotation or anything like that.
Yeah, not cracking its way into the top five or anything.
No, not happening.
Okay, I'm with you. I'm probably never going to rewatch this. I love Rami Youssef. More power, you know, to him. Follow your heart. Do what you want to do. Make more movies like Poor Things. I think he was great in that film. This is sometimes funny, overall pretty just okay in my book. So I honestly, I'd probably go with like a C-24. It's just like, it's all right. Like, it's just kind of not for me. It's nothing against Rami. I think it's just like, I don't think I'm the intended audience here for a stand-up special in general. I will not be putting this on my A24 ranked list on Letterboxd. I'm not adding it to like anything else. Like, I feel like it's unfair to like try to take a stand-up, because it's technically labeled as like an A24 television production on their Wikipedia page. So I feel like we can't really put it in the mix with the movie rankings. And yeah, I guess an hour into the pod is a good time to mention this is in fact produced by A24. That's why we're talking about it here on the show. A special produced by A24, distributed by Max. So
yeah,
there's that.
And you hate comedy. So now
I think comedy has gone woke, and I think we need to put an end to it.
You're anti-humor. I think we all understand that now. That's totally understandable.
If everybody could just try to be less funny in life, I think the world would be a better place.
Yeah, I think that's what we need.
I don't think that's too much to ask for. Next week on the pod has been Hotel. A month full of firsts here on the podcast. Our very first animated series. We're talking about the whole series so far. Season one, I believe there's 8 episodes. They're about 30 minutes each. We're going to cover it. As far as I'm aware, with Has Been Hotel, it is an adult-themed Broadway comedy musical animated show set in hell.
Yeah, it sounds like a great recap of it. Yeah, I think so.
I feel like I kind of aced that. I feel like I hit it out of the park.
Yeah, you killed it. Yeah, we got 8 episodes. They're all like 20-some minutes long. It's going to be, I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be good.
I'm stoked. Yeah, I'm excited. I have not watched a single episode yet, and I will ingest the entire season in the next 4 days. I feel good about that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna crank it out, and, you know, life's going to be good.
Just cranking it, dude. speaking of the American school system that we did earlier.
I thought you were just going to say, speaking of cranking it, just monologue.
I didn't feel good about what I was saying, and I realized it's because I had the wrong president. It was not James Madison. It was James Monroe, who was the 5th president. Because I looked up James Madison. I was like, we don't have the same birthday. My birthday is on March 16th. And I was like, wait, maybe it wasn't him. And it wasn't. It was the next dude. So that's how well I remember my book report, is that it was some guy named James M. who was a president. And I guessed the wrong one. So shout out to the American public school system.
You love to see it. You just love to see full education in full effect.
Yeah, it's all
really, really impressive. Can you name any older presidents like off the top of your head like that?
I mean, George Washington, John Adams.
I guess I'll give you that one. I need some deep cuts.
You don't think the 5th president of the United States is a deep cut? That's a pretty
Who's the 6th, Ben? I want the 6th.
That was the next guy. Yeah, I don't remember who it is. Yeah.
Whoever's the next guy.
Yeah, whoever's
Wasn't James whoever's next. James Caan a president?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, right before doing Thief. Yeah, he's like... Yeah.
No, well, I think it was actually the other way around. I think they saw Thief, and the American people were like, we need him leading us to a better future.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me.
Why am I looking at presidents right now? This is insane.
This is exactly what we talked about at the top of the episode. We have devolved into searching up presidents. When are we doing our president pod? Are we doing like one president a week? Ooh. How are we going to structure that?
Should we do the president's draft over on the other pod?
Movies about presidents? Or are we actually drafting presidents?
Just the presidents themselves. I want to know how you feel about Ulysses S. Grant. Yeah, tell me what you think.
Yeah, I'm very pro Civil War. Yeah.
Yeah, please let us know if you're on the North or the South. We're on Twitter and Instagram at 24 minutes of A24. Don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube where you can see us talk about these projects every single week and just divert into weird topics that don't make any sense. Hope you enjoyed our Challengers review today, our unofficial Challengers review.
Yeah.
Anyways, thanks everyone for your support. Really appreciate it. I'm Ben Lawhorn.
And I'm Ethan Simi. Spring break forever, bitches.